Hello, and you're all very welcome along to another episode of the Gaelic Statsman podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Hurley, and here to present another episode of the podcast here. And I'm delighted to be joined, as usual, by Seamus Brady from Unclehead to discuss this weekend's action. And should be a very interesting weekend with Ulster final coming up, Donegal and Armagh on Sunday. The Tasman Cup gets underway as well as the Leinster final. If any, is there going to be a battle there? I'm not entirely sure, but we'll discuss that, I'm sure, as well. As well as the hurling, there's some brilliant games, including Cork against Limerick on Saturday evening, which should be an absolute cracker, with Christy Ring, Nicky Rackard, all them in action as well, and the Leinster Hurling Championship as well as that, and under 20 semi-finals, which we'll discuss as well in the football scene. And before we get into the podcast, I'd like to mention our sponsors at Capture Athletics. Get the gear if you haven't already. Some brilliant gear out there on the Capture Athletics website, so check it out if you haven't already. So yeah, Seamus, another weekend of championship action. This is week 6 of championship action now, so a lot to get into. And yeah, the Tasman Cup starts this weekend. Yeah, there's a lot of games, unlike last weekend, really.
Yes, Ernie, Matthew, thanks for having me on again. Like, it's real business feeling off this next while in the championship. I mean, like, the fact that the Tasman Cup is already kicking off is crazy. Obviously, had the promotional shoot there in Croker recently. And yeah, some big games this weekend. Obviously, the Ulster final, the Leinster final, the Leinster LGFA final, the Connacht LGFA final. And then some big games in the hurling championship. Like, Cork and Limerick is very much do or die for the Rebels. But then if Cork managed to save themselves, it changes the whole dynamic on the Munster Championship as well, because it shows that Limerick can be beaten this year. It's just a really, really big, important weekend for every county involved. It should be a good one to break down.
It should, definitely. And yeah, it should be a very interesting weekend of Gaelic games. But we'll get into the week of Gaelic games first section this week. And the main story, which we will be talking about as well, is the promotion of Gaelic games. And there has been, it's boiled up again. It was this time last season where GAA Go and all them were debated last season, and it has boiled up again. And I just wanted to bring up a tweet here from the Loud captain, Peter Fortune, of the Loud Hurlers, that is. And we will discuss Christy Reid, Nicky Rackard and all them competitions later on. But look at this tweet here from the Loud captain. Great to see the Tasman Cup get this promotion, but it is extremely disappointing that there's no similar launch for the Ring, Rackard or Mara competitions this year. Again, the lower levels of hurling being totally neglected and ignored. And he actually provided a thread to that tweet on X as well. And he mentioned the discussion for the future of hurling with Joanne Cantwell in that as well on the Sunday game. So that discussion took place, for context for our listeners and viewers, in February. And it seems like nothing else has been done so far. And yes, you mentioned at the start of the show that Tasman Cup did get its flowers in Croke Park during the week. But there was no promotion for the Joe McDonagh Cup, Christy Ring and all them competitions, which is a huge concern and things like that as well. And as well as that, there's other concerns. Like, you look at the Leinster Championship this weekend, and we will get into it in a bit. Dublin Antrim isn't even shown live this weekend. It's not shown live on GAA Go. It's not shown live on RT. And a lot of people have had the debates about it on Twitter, or X as it's called now, that RT have the contract for 31 games or 32 games, somewhere in and around that. GAA Go is the future. There is the caveat, though, with the LOI TV. They show every game in the League of Ireland. GAA Go doesn't seem to do it in Gaelic games. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on this, Seamus. Myself and Aaron actually discussed it well in depth on his show last night. Check that out if you haven't already. Brilliant episode, that is. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on it, Seamus, about the promotion of Gaelic games. And do you agree with the Loud captain, Peter Fortune, there?
Yeah, definitely agree with him. It's one of those things where, look, me and you said this at the time, that the discussion for the future of hurling, it just kind of gave off this energy that they were just ticking a box. They gave 20 minutes to a discussion that you need an hour and a half to do. Like, you need a plan. You need, like, it gave off this thing that, like, that they were all being armchair critics, because they only gave them 20 minutes to talk. And they all, it felt like a group that they were all just basically giving out about it. And then the minute that they kind of got it off their chest, it's like, okay, you vented that out. We're going to carry on now with what we were planning. And nothing's changed at all. Like, nothing has changed. So, like, that's what the most frustrating thing about it was, is that if I'd watched that episode and, like, Liam Sheedy, Peter Fortune, Joanne had all been told to come with a plan for hurling, and they got people like Don Logan, who had, like, a genuine, like, step one, step two, step three, this is the process we're going to follow over the next few years. Like, then I'd be really positive about it. But nothing's come with that. And this isn't the same year where, you know, the five counties were talked about being disbanded from, you know, the hurling league and everything like that. Fermanagh, Leitrim, Longford, like, and so on. And it was just really, really disrespectful that the vibe I got from that competition was, that's just a venting place. Let them get it out and then we'll just carry on as normal. And it has carried on as normal, hasn't it? Like, there's been no difference. Like, if me and you weren't covering the games, would you know that the Nicky Rackard and Laurie Mark Cups have kicked off? But there's been no highlights of them. There's been no match reports of them. There's been no publicity of them. If you're not following the pages on Twitter, you won't have a breeze that the competition is on. And that's where it's disappointing. For stuff like Dublin and Antrim as well, it's crazy because there's real consequences to that game. Like, if Dublin lose that game, Antrim could be in with a shout of getting out of Leinster, which is absolutely extraordinary. If Dublin win, Dublin are in a great position to get out of Leinster. Like, there's real consequences for that game, and for it not to be shown is slightly annoying, especially when you consider the fact that, like, I've been there with Dublin. Dublin have shown every game that was at Parnell Park in the club championship. Clubber were there for the Walsh Cup. Parnell Park very much has the facilities to show a game live. Like, if GA Go or RTE got in touch with Dublin and said, look, we're not going to be able to cover this game, will you cover this game? Because we're not going to. Dublin would gladly do it. But it's the rights of who has the rights to cover this game. If Dublin just put up a live stream on YouTube, this is Dublin and Antrim, that's better than nothing. And it would give Dublin hurling fans who can't make the game something to watch it on. And it's something that, again, same thing with Antrim. Like, not every Antrim fan is going to be able to make the trip down to Parnell Park to watch the game. It's a hell of a journey. And having the ability to be able to watch it on a live stream or YouTube or Twitter, whatever it is, would be way better than watching nothing. And it comes back to, the promotion. If the League of Ireland can do it with a far less budget, we should be taking a leaf out of that book as well.
Exactly. So, and get just on the League of Ireland and on URC as well, which Pat Spillane actually quoted in his column in a paper during the week, saying that second-tier rugby competitions are being shown above GA competitions. Did I actually put out a tweet earlier this week on the football championship, not just the hurling though, but the football next week? There's 12 games across Tatton Cup and All-Ireland Senior Football Championship next week. Three of them are shown next week. That's 25% of the games, none on RTE and three on GA Go.
It just hit you with some stats, man, like, which is mad at me talking to this stats man about stats. But League of Ireland attendances over the last 2 years have gone up 135%. It works. Showing the games works. I have watched them. I've watched the highlights. Did I go to League of Ireland? No. But did I watch the highlights? Yes. Am I more likely now to go to a Shells match or a Bows match than I was 5 years ago? Absolutely. It works. Showing the games works. And it's disappointing that, you know, we've allowed this to get to a very exclusive club where only a certain amount of people are allowed to show the games, and that's that. I don't see what's the issue if Dublin and Antrim are playing in Parnell Park and RTE and GAA Go aren't covering it. I don't see what the problem is for Dublin to cover it just like we did with the club championship games. Because then if Dublin did that and RTE took the footage and Dublin sent the footage to RTE and said, there you go, you can use that on the Sunday game. Say if something crazy happens, you can use that footage. Again, it's better for the game of hurling. More people watching. And like, the thing is as well, the attendances are going down. I think it's a combination of crammed schedules, not a lot of information about where the games are on and when they're on. It's difficult to get tickets. It's difficult to buy county merchandise. Like, I had one of my friends come to Ireland from abroad, and I told him all about the GAA, and then he asked me, like, where can I get a jersey? He was only in Ireland for a week, and I had to be like, okay, so you have to go into town, you have to find this shop called Elvery's, and they might not even have the one you're looking for. because he was only here for like 2 or 3 days. So if I told him, oh, order it online, sure, he'd be gone by the time. Do you know what I mean? When you compare it to other sports, that it's hard to avoid buying merchandise from them.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know, you have all the GA jerseys. Like, how do you get them? How long does it take them to arrive? Like,
That's a million dollar question. Like, to be honest, I've ordered one jersey online, honestly, and that's the Wicklow jersey in terms of county jerseys. Like, I got this Wexford jersey in Wexford because I was there, simply. Cork, I got actually in Dublin, believe it or not, at the O'Neill's. Wow. The O'Neill's, you know, that warehouse in there. I don't know where exactly it is in Dublin, but yeah, that's...
You got that's warehouse? Not in the city centre or... There's a Liverpool shop. There's a Liverpool shop in the city centre.
Yeah, that shows everything, really. And yeah, it's definitely a discussion that we will talk about. And Sligo is another jersey I got in the warehouse as well. So that warehouse in Dublin, that says all the stuff O'Neill's related and things like that. And that's the place to go to. But that's outside the city centre, as he said. So that's the problem, you know. And Aaron actually mentioned on the GAR with Dan Casey during the week, that the GAA, not just hurling, but football as well, and the whole organisation in terms of media production or just promotion in general, need life support at this stage. And I'd agree with him. Like, it's just, like, the games aren't shown enough. Like, Christy Reid, Nicky Rackard, like, for example, in the Christy Reid, Nicky Rackard Cup, I had to go through, I don't know how many sites to get even the top scores and things like that. I had to go through other things, like Scorebio, for example, which is a brilliant app. Just a Google search. Some of them would have the game, some of them won't. And then on the Wikipedia page, the official Wikipedia page for the Christy Ring Cup, for the table, it's not even updated. Like, it's just, it's ridiculous at this stage. We will get on to those games in a minute, but yeah, it's something that GAA need to, you know, get going on, really, the promotion of it. Denise actually comes in with a comment here. I get all my jerseys in the O'Neill's stand at the ploughing because it's my best bet to get jerseys even with the crazy high demands and fast sellouts. Yeah, that's a good point. I'd say most people get it at the ploughing match, to be fair. Yeah. So that's the promotion of Gaelic games, and we will discuss the games now. And starting off with football, and this is you talked about lower attendances. This is a game that's going to be high attendance, and it's a sellout, apparently. Armagh against Donegal in Clonus, Sunday, 4 p.m, live on RT2 and BBC2 Northern Ireland. Now, these two sides have played each other three times this season. Armagh have won none of them. Donegal have won two, and they've drawn one. So, is it an even playing score that Armagh have to settle here, or is there more at stake? An Ulster title, an Anglo-Celt Cup here?
I think it's for McGeaney's legacy as Armagh boss this game. Like, I really think this is a huge game for Armagh because he's been there since 2015, and I feel like recency bias will definitely come into play. Like, Kieran McGeaney picked up Armagh when they were at a low ebb. Like, Armagh around 2014, 2015 were nowhere near as good as they are now. McGeaney had them in Division 3. He took them out. He kept them in Division 1 for a couple of years. Okay, they slipped under to Division 2, but they bounced straight back up. He's made them a team that are competing at the top table. They are there or thereabouts, and he's come so close to success. Like, he really, really has. If the three penalty shootouts that he was in had have gone completely the other way, he would have made it to back-to-back All-Ireland semi-finals and have been Ulster champions last year. It's literally just those inches have gone against them, but people are incredibly harsh, and like, history is incredibly harsh, and context won't be given. McGeaney's reign will just be 2015 to whatever 2025, and he didn't win anything. But if they can beat Donegal in this Ulster final, it is massive for his legacy as Armagh boss. It is absolutely huge. It puts the stamp of approval on his entire reign, that they've made good on it. They've made good on a time where they have footballers, the likes of Rian O'Neill, Jarlio, Burns, that they've turned that into silverware. So I think going into this weekend, Kieran McGeaney has the most on the line here.
There's a lot of aspects to this game, and a lot of talking points in general, even before the game is even thrown in, which tells you all you need to know at how highly anticipated the game is. Denise actually put in the comment here last night, and on Aaron's preview, said I would go for a Donegal win. However, I've now convinced myself to think other and am going for an Armagh win. So, yeah, it tells you all you need to know when you listen to a podcast and your opinion completely changes. It's a difficult one to call this game. But first of all, Kevin Kennedy for the GA Sports Track Wrap. Follow him if you haven't already. Very good for statistical analysis as well, and myself as well. So just a shameless plug for the statisticians in the game. But he said in particular, and made a very good point on X earlier today, on what Armagh should do. Considering what Derry did, probably stupendously against Donegal, they pushed up at the Donegal kickouts, and Donegal just kicked in behind, and Orr Lynch was off the line. What do Armagh do in this game, Seamus? Do they push up, or do they push back? Like, it's a difficult question to answer, because they would have watched that Derry game and would have thought Donegal, Jim McGuinness would have planned to do this right from the very off against Derry. Whereas if we could push back here, Donegal may have to think about this in a few stages in the game. So it will be an interesting one to call.
Certainly will be. And I think they have to pay very close attention to what McGuinness does first. Because the one thing I've noticed is that when McGuinness's masterclasses, if you like, have always played out correct, there's always been a warning shot, if that makes sense. There's always been like the first shot where you think you need to really switch on here. Like Dublin Donegal in 2014, there was the first kick out which led to the Donegal goal. Dublin didn't change, and then Donegal got the goal in the second half from McFadden that like finished Dublin off. And then with Derry, again, Derry got the warning shot with the first Darrow Beal goal, and they didn't change. Mickey Hart, stubborn as hell, not going to change his tactics, not going to change his strategy. Donegal got two more goals directly from, you know, Oran Lynch being stranded outfield, from O'Boyle again, and then from Jamie Brennan. And the penalty, I think, came from that one as well. Like, it's just, they were determined to get caught by it. So I think what McGeaney has to go into this weekend with is flexibility. I think they have to go in with this weekend knowing that McGuinness might push up or he might drop off. And we need to be ready for whatever he's going to do. If he pushes up and he looks like he's going to catch, you know, Blaine Hughes out of goal, then we need to be able to have a plan for that. If they sit back and they let Blaine Hughes play out, we need to be ready for the potential spring counterattack where they try catch him and lob him, because that definitely could be a play. Personally, for this game, Armagh, ditch it. Just ditch it. Go with Hughes and goal and play Hughes in a similar way that Dublin played Cluxton. You'll never see Cluxton getting lobbed. You'll never see like Kevin Gummerford getting lobbed. David O'Hanlon nearly did against Derry, but that's as close as we've come. And like the main thing is going into this game is that they need to be agile and they need to be able to adapt to whatever McGuinness comes with, because McGuinness is going to come with a master plan probably for Armagh, because no doubt McGuinness had it in his head. He wants the grandstand return. And I think McGuinness in some ways values the Ulster Championship more than he values the All-Ireland. I think he wants to land this Ulster title to announce his return.
And worth noting as well, out of the previous four Jim McGuinness managerial reigns in Donegal seasons for the Ulster Championship, he's won three out of four Ulster Championships as manager of Donegal. So he doesn't want to let go of that record. So it will be interesting to see that as well. And another aspect that Kevin Kennedy mentioned, and obviously he is an Antrim man himself, and he would have been mulling over this Ulster final in detail. And he said as well, Armagh have a good shooting accuracy, and it showed in the Down game. They had 65%. They only had 20 shots, but they converted 13 and did very well. Whereas Donegal just shoot on sight, and they know when to shoot. They kind of have a clock inside their head and saying, it's 2 minutes now, we have to shoot here. And Jim McGuinness kind of ingrains it into the players at the same time. So, like, it will be interesting to see that dynamic as well. So, it's a crucial for Armagh to keep Donegal's shot count low so that Armagh can go down the other end and kick some nice scores. Because we've seen over the past few games, in particular, Armagh's shooting accuracy has got better as the games have gone on this season.
It's a very good point. And I think one of the things that I would be looking at if I was Armagh is, if they're putting this pressure on themselves to take the shot on, then make sure that when they go to take that shot, that it's not a good shot to take. Push them out wide to the wings. Do not let them go down the center as much as you can. And no, do not, like, literally stand on McBrady's left foot. Stand on Darryl Boyle's right foot. Do not let them cut in on the foot that they want to. And if they're putting themselves under that pressure where they have to take the shot after 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, I know that they're not, like, literally on a shot clock, but they are pulling the trigger a lot more than most teams are. And I think if you can hold them in an attack enough and push them out wide to the wings, I think Donegal are liable to take some bad shots on. Armagh have been more calculated in their shooting, which is ironic with McGeaney, because remember, McGeaney's Kildare side used to shoot onside all the time. But yeah, in this game, I feel like Armagh could do a lot worse than to keep Donegal out at a bad shooting range. That would be way easier said than done. Like, the form of the likes of Oisin Gallen, Ryan McHugh, Paddy McBrady, like, they're going to take some stopping. And yeah, it's just, I'm finding it fascinating, the battle between McGuinness and McGeaney, because obviously McGuinness is imperious and he's planning this return, you know, for years, I would say. And then, you know, he has in his head, I've no doubt, the grandstand return of winning the Anglo-Celt. Jimmy's winning matches, part two, here we go again. And yeah, exactly, to announce that with an Anglo-Celt. But with McGeaney, McGeaney, I think, has got a lot more to lose out of this. Because you look at last year, how narrowly he held on to his job, and you look at the work that Tony McEntee is doing with Sligo. Even Oisin McConville's still doing a good job with Wicklow. Like, there's options there for Armagh instead of McGeaney. So I think he'll be feeling the pressure more so than ever before to deliver a trophy that people would sit up and take notice of. Because no one, like, being honest, no one cares about a Division 3 title.
Exactly, not especially not Armagh, considering they've won another two, and they want to be up there. And no Ulster title in 16 years.
That's not a disrespect to Westmead, but Armagh see themselves as being a team that should be going for the All Ireland, so they're not going to celebrate a Division 3 title.
You look at the Division 2 final in particular between the two sides, and Paddy McBrearty, Ryan McHugh were both over Donegal. Reid O'Neill didn't start for Armagh, he came on late on, but didn't start that game. Since then, he's gone into midfield and produced some brilliant performances, especially the game against Down, where he's absolutely exceptional in that role, considering Armagh weren't too great that day. Who do you think will benefit more from players coming back? Will it be Armagh or will it be Donegal in this one?
Very good question. I think they'll both benefit. There's no question about that. I think Donegal was further off full strength, I would say. You look at players like, I know that, I'm not sure if he is returning, but players like Owen Bond Gallagher that have been missing, that's huge. The other thing as well that is massive is Sean Patton's fitness. Yeah, obviously he's had the issues with his legs and everything. Like, his kick-out strategy has been crucial to how Donegal have been moving so far. Armagh, Reid O'Neill didn't seem at 100% throughout more or less the entire year. But then, you know, his performance against Down, you're right, was really, really good. The reality is they both come to the final in different ways. And you have to look at it this way. Armagh have come to the final through a very, very, very easier side of the draw than Donegal did. Donegal took out Derry and Tyrone, two sides who successfully stayed in Division 1, one of them that won the Division 1 title. Armagh have come through Down, and then before that, they came, my mind's gone blank. Who was it
Fermanagh.
Before? Fermanagh, yes. So that's a Division 3 team and another side that played in Division 3. Two teams that are going to be in the Tailteann Cup. So Armagh have come through an easier side of the draw. Now, does that mean that Donegal are definitely going to win? Hell no. I mean, like, we've seen plenty of examples of teams coming through the easier side of the draw and winning the championship. Tipperary and Munster in 2020, Roscommon and Connacht in 2010. We've seen plenty of examples of teams sneaking through the easier side and then coming good on the final day. Armagh nearly did it last year. Like, they beat Down in the semi-final last year, took Derry to penalties. But with all the noise that was around Derry last year, with the whole, like, issues with the manager and everything, like, and that's putting it very respectfully, like, there was a lot of chaos around Derry at that time, and I thought Armagh were going to win because of that. I thought Derry would be so distracted by all the noise going on behind the scenes, and I picked Armagh to win kind of based off that. This year, Donegal are smooth sailing them. So, like, part of me thinks it's Donegal's to lose.
Just before we get on to prediction in this game, like, for Armagh in particular against Down in that semi-final, yes, they are a Division 3 team, granted, and they got up to Division 2. We're playing Division 3 football this season. But the way they got the Jason Duffy point towards the end, there might have been an argument for Andrew Moran and fouling Caelan Doherty in the build-up. But the fact that Armagh got it to the right shooter and passed the ball about so that Down wouldn't have enough time to shoot at the end of the game, is that a sign of a changed Armagh? Considering what happened over the last few seasons against Monaghan, they shot when Rian O'Neill got the point, but then they allowed Conor McManus to score the equaliser. Against Galway 2 years ago in the quarterfinal, they kick what seems to be the winning point through Jamar Hall, but Killian McDay goes down the other end and gets a point for Galway. They still had time to do it. Likewise with the Derry game last season, there was periods in that game where Armagh could have put the foot down on Derry and won that game. But in the end, all three examples, they went to a penalty shootout, and we all know what happened then. Down was a bit different. Is that a sign that it's a changed Armagh team from a few years back?
Not really for me, because it's also the same Armagh that ended up in a position where they needed a last-minute winner to get over the line against a team that they are better than on paper. So, again, it's also a sign that Armagh still make games hard for themselves. Like, I mean, realistically, Donegal win that game by more than 1 point, if we're being honest. Armagh have it in them to up this game to be at Donegal's level, in my opinion. But Armagh also have it in them to drop their level to make things more difficult for themselves. I do agree with you. They do have an issue in terms of closing games out. They did take that last point well by Duffy. No question about it. Holding on to the ball and finishing it out well. But the reality is they still ended up in that position. And Down still did have a shot at the posts to level the game. So it's not as cut and dry as that, in my opinion. I think, look, regardless of whatever way it goes down on the weekend, it's not going to be smooth sailing for either of them. I don't do smooth sailing for either team. It's going to be dramatic. It's going to be helter-skelter. You look at the Derry game there, like the Ulster final last year, both teams finished off the extra time period thinking we should have finished it out there. So it's going to be dramatic. Personally, I think Donegal are going to win. If I'm being 100%, I just feel like Donegal are coming in with a little bit more composure, a little bit more of a structured system, and a little bit more of a definite figured out result. A figured out way of getting the result. The way I'd see it is somewhat similar to this, that if you were to give them both a maths equation, Armagh shout out what might be around the right answer. Donegal seem to have a formula that tends to get them to win so far. They got it in a very difficult game against Tyrone, and they figured Derry out in the quarterfinal. And I just feel like it, like coming down to those last few minutes, because it will, it's going to be no more than a one score in it. It's definitely going to be no more than 3 points. Then coming down to the final few minutes, I think you'll see some big scores from McBrearty, from McHugh, from Oisin Gallen especially. I think Donegal will scrape over the line to an Ulster title.
I'm going to go for Donegal as well, but it is a tight one to call. And again, another aspect of the game, which we don't honestly have time to talk about, is Brendan McCall. Who will he go on? Because he's done some brilliant man-marking jobs, especially Shane McGuigan in the quarterfinal. Turbot. Yeah, you'd imagine he has to go on Conor Turbot in this game. Has to. Yeah, but we'll have to see on Sunday how this will play out. We're both saying a Donegal win for the Ulster title, and it is a tight one to call. One provincial final, Dan, won't be a tight one to call. I think we're safe to say this is, Dublin against Louth on Sunday, 1:45 on RT2 in Croke Park. Few questions, Seamus. I think just this might be an unpopular opinion. I think the winners of this game and who will benefit the most might be just going in favour of the Seagulls. We'll have to see, though.
Seagulls. I thought you were going to say, I think the winners might be Dublin also. I think I agree with you. Seagulls, interesting. This game is Look, it's sad that the Leinster Championship has got to this stage where you just know it's going to happen. No, you know, like the one thing that Colin Parkinson has done to kind of make it a little bit easier for himself and to play a different game in his own head, it seems, is to, I've started doing it myself, Dublin versus whatever handicap you want to give to the teams they play against. And Dublin have beaten that handicap against both Meath and Offaly for Colin Parkinson. So they've beaten Meath by more than 12 points. They've beaten Offaly by more than 15. So, like, now what? You know what I mean? So what do you think they have on Louth? Like, I could see this game being very similar to, I think it's personally going to be very similar to the couple of Leinster finals they played against Westmeath in the mid-2010s, where Westmeath come with like a game plan. They go very defensive. They try hold Dublin for as long as they can. And by halftime, it's not actually that bad. And then in the third quarter, Dublin just absolutely murdered them. And then game's done in the final quarter. Like, I could just see something like that, where most games where Dublin have played a team from Leinster, like, this is speaking as someone who's a dub, who's been going to Leinster Championship games now for as long as I can remember. Most games in the last decade since Dublin have really got their iron grip on Leinster, most games have kind of gone like this. First 20 minutes, a team will come out. They'll get a few turnovers. The crowd will give a big roar. They'll win a free out or something. Everyone be like, yeah, come on, you boy, like that type. But then at the end of the 20 minutes, Dublin are still like 5 points to four ahead. Like, the Leinster final last year is a good example. Louth worked so hard. Sam O'Roy kicked an outrageous point. But then still by the end of the first quarter, Dublin were still ahead. And you're like, you've emptied yourself into that first quarter and you're still losing. And then usually, unfortunately, Dublin get somewhat of a lucky goal. Like the Sean Bugler goal against Meath, it was steps, it was a free out, but it wasn't given. Or they get a goal where someone makes a mistake and Dublin just punish them for it. And then Dublin go on the rampage. And within 5 minutes, Dublin go from being 2 points ahead to being like 10 points ahead. And then the last 20 minutes are always just an absolute turkey shoot. And it's like all the substitutes come on then. You have, over the years, you'd have, you know, your Dean Rocks, your Paddy Andrews, your Cormac Costlows, you know, kicking some minutes into themselves before the rest of the championship now. Oh, in here comes the cavalry, like that type of thing. And everybody's coming on to get a couple of points. And Dublin end up with like 320 and their opponents end up with like 11 points, 13 points. That's usually how the games have gone. I don't really see this game going any different, unfortunately.
No, it's a difficult one to see Louth actually winning. But if you're really, really, really grasping at straws here, do you think Louth could take what Clare did last week into this game? Possibly. I don't know. Like, I might be absolutely talking rubbish here, but could Louth actually... That's the thing, yeah.
Dublin have home advantage. It's called a spade. Like, it's in Croke Park. Dublin play all the games there. Like, someone from Dublin saying it, if you play all your games in the stadium, that is your regular pitch. Like, I don't know, man. It's something that, look, it's an unfortunate situation that we've ended up in, because it's nobody's fault that this has happened. A lot of people like to point fingers and say Dublin play too many games in Croke Park, so it's this person's fault, it's that person's fault, it's these guys' fault. It's nobody's fault, really. Like, what happened is the Leinster Championship was so entertaining, so watched, so attended throughout the 80s, 90s and 2000s. Like, Dublin Wexford in 2008, 80,000 people there. Dublin Laois in 2007, 82,300, full house. Same against Dublin Offaly in 06. And even moving into 2011, 2012. 2012, Dublin versus Meath, 68,000. A lot of people went to those games, man. So what I'm saying is that Leinster didn't have to get rid of Croke Park hosting the games, because people were still going. But what's happened is, particularly over the last 5 years, the attendances have just fallen off a cliff. And with COVID, you can't take money and build an entire new stadium, because now it's a tricky situation, because you have two options here. Option A, you build a new stadium for Dublin, because Parnell Park is not safe to host Dublin football games. It's not. Parnell Park holds 10,000 people. It's in the middle of a residential area. There is no motorway exit onto Parnell Park. It's not safe. It would be a absolute mess if they were to host a game there. Because trust me, like, most lads in Dublin would try hop into that game for free. You wouldn't be safe to host the games. Then, on top of that, where would you put it? You need to figure out somewhere else to put it. So that's your option. So your options are build a new stadium for Dublin somewhere else that can hold about 45,000 people. My personal shout is somewhere near like Sanctuary Park, Morton Stadium, because there's two motorway exits there and it's right beside the Northwood Business Park that has a lot of hotels and a lot of car parks and everything like that. I think it would be suitable to host that because you have Morton Stadium there with the Clonliffe Harriers. And I'm not saying that the GA should buy that stadium, but there's Trinity Sports Centre there. There's a lot of land. It's possible to build it there, you'd imagine. That's option A. Option B is Dublin keep playing in Croke Park. Or you play the Leinster Finals and Dublin never play a game in Dublin again until the latter stages of the championship. That's option C. But the reality is that the sudden drop off a cliff of attendances has put us in a difficult situation that nobody is responsible for, but that we do need to sort out.
Would option D be to play the Leinster Finals in Tullamore or Portlaoise?
Yeah, that's the same with option C, that, you know, the Leinster games are played outside of Croker. I think if you're looking, like personally, I think, you know, with the festival thing that the lads were talking about on that debate about hurling, like, there's definitely something in that for the Leinster Championship. Like, if you played both Leinster semi-finals back-to-back in Portlaoise or in O'Connor Park in Tullamore, and it was Louth and Kildare, and then Dublin against Offaly, back-to-back in Tullamore, and you had all 20, like, because 20,000 fans in Tullamore would have felt like a big deal. Didn't feel like a big deal in Croke Park.
It's a shame we aren't actually talking about the game as such. We're talking about structures and things like that. But there's another question on off-the-pitch matters and things like that. How much do you think there will be in Croke Park on Sunday? What's the attendance going to be, in your opinion?
Very difficult. I would say no more than 30.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that as well. And the fact, I know we're talking about the NGFA finals as well, but Dublin and Meath at the NGFA is on at 11:45. That's AM time. 11:45 at this game is on at 1:45 PM. Should Dublin Low be the curtain raiser, really? Because Dublin and Meath, there's a bit of jeopardy there.
Yeah.
Like, it's a possible kind of solution to get people in, because you looked at actually the Camogie finals and the Meath Dublin game, and our good friend Aaron Prendergast actually went to those games going on the hill, and going into the game, and as Tip and Galway fans were leaving the Camogie, it was almost like the Camogie fans were getting out of the stadium to avoid watching Dublin and Meath, and the attendance actually got low.
I met people that were leaving. Yeah, I met people that, in the ground. Like, I was in the media centre that day. I met people who were media people who were leaving. There were GAA media people that were finished for the day, and instead of sticking around to watch Dublin and Meath, were off home. Like, this is crazy. Like,
and I'd imagine it was the same for Dublin and Offaly, was it? The load of Kildare fans.
I didn't blame them. It's like saying you have to stick around for 2 hours to watch a film that you already know how it goes.
Exactly.
Like, imagine staying up all night to watch a UFC card when you've seen the results.
Yeah.
Jeopardy is what sells the event. Not knowing what's going to happen is what draws the crowds. Everybody knows what's going to happen here. Dublin are going to beat Louth by at least 10 points and win the Leinster Championship for the 14th time in a row?
Yes.
14. just like let's just take a minute. 14 Leinster titles in a row. 14. That's not a competition anymore. That's like a monopoly when you go around the table and you pick up 100 and pass go. It's just the guarantee.
And to put it in the context, actually, there's the All-Ireland Minor Championships happening at the moment, and we will preview them, obviously, in the next few weeks. But there are players in that competition that were born at the earliest, 2007.
When we could have a fun game, man. We could have a fun game of what life was like the last time Dublin lost. You have, like, off the top of my head, Brian Cowan was the Taoiseach. Barack Obama was in his first term as US president. Instagram did not exist. TikTok did not exist. Like, there's so many things that, like, life was just so different the last time Dublin lost. Anybody who has just gone into secondary school this year was not alive the last time Dublin lost. Like, it's just incredible how it's just been the same for years.
We're both predicting Dublin to win this game, but question by how much?
10. That's what I'm saying. Dublin by 10. I think Mulroy will have a good game. I think Conor Grimes will have a good game. Kieran Downey might have an okay game. I think Louth are a good team. That's the thing that is disappointing, is that I'm not trashing Louth. Just, I don't think anybody in Leinster believes they can beat Dublin. Like, really into their soul, I don't think they do. I think genuinely most players in Leinster, if you're to go to them, like, on, like, a personal level, like, chat to them over a pint and actually ask them, like, do you think you can beat Dublin? I'd be interested to know exactly how many of them actually even believe they can beat them. Meade definitely did not think they would. Definitely. Even O'Rourke, like, seemed so accepting of it that they were going to get battered. But it was like, you're looking at them like, you used to literally go to war with Dublin. Like, it's just crazy how much has changed.
And to be honest, I would rank Meade as the second best team in Leinster. And if that was the attitude...
Meade are so accepting of it, you would wonder why Louth are so different. And if Louth go out there, because make no mistake about it, there was a year where Westmeath kind of put it up to Dublin before it fell apart in the second half. If Louth go out there and put up a good fight and they're in the game with 15 minutes to go, it's a real wake-up call for Meade. That this can be done. You look at Monaghan last year in the All-Ireland semi-final against Dublin, pushed them all the way. Roscommon drew at Dublin in Croke Park. Like, Dublin aren't unbeatable. They're not untouchable. Like, Keane Ward was talking about this on the GAA Hour when it was him, Colin Parkinson, Conan Doherty and all that were on it. And this was a piece from 2020. Because Keane Ward was talking about it at the time. This episode was after Dublin had flattened Meade in that Leinster final. Do you remember it? Like, where Dublin scored 5 goals or something. Height to COVID. And Keane Ward was talking about it. And he was saying he used to be absolutely tearing his hair out because he'd watch, like, Wexford, for example, who beat Meade in 2008. Beat them. Meade took Dublin to a replay in 2007. In front of 2 full houses in Croke Park, by the way. Dublin scraped through. And then Wexford beat Meath in the Leinster quarterfinal that year. Do you remember that game? Absolutely crazy game. And then Keane Ward was saying, like, Wexford went out in Croke Park in the final and they folded after 10 minutes. Because just, it's Dublin. And, like, you look at it, like, there's a few exceptions. Obviously, 2010 to 2012, I'd say, is the exceptions. Where, like, Wexford pushed Dublin close twice, 2011 and 2012. Kildare pushed Dublin close in 2011. And Meade beat them in 2010. But apart from that, it's been plain sailing.
And just a stat as well, over the last 10 Leinster finals, only 2 of them have been single digits. Both by Kildare, coincidentally. 2017, when Daniel Flynn scored that brilliant point in Croke Park near the Hogan. And the one where, to be honest, Kildare should have pushed up on Dublin in 2021. Because that was Dublin at a low ebb.
Yeah.
So, That's another proof as well that they didn't actually believe they could beat Dublin, even when Dublin were at the lowest.
Yeah. Like, make no mistake about it, Dublin were bang average in 2021. We were there for the taking, hence why Mayo beat us. That's why it was embarrassing how Mayo went on. Because it's like, lads, Dublin were terrible that year. We would have lost to Tyrone in the final. I fully believe that. You finished off a team that dominated the ball for 60 minutes and only scored something like 9 points. Yeah. We weren't anywhere near the team we were in 2019.
Exactly, yeah. We'll get on to the Tots and Cup now, and that started this weekend. So just to remind our viewers here of the groups for the Tots and Cup, if I have them available to me. So we're starting off with Group 1. So it's Group 1, just to remind our viewers here, is Kildare, Leitrim, Longford and Waterford. And that starts this weekend with Kildare against Longford. And this game is live on GAA Go at 6 p.m. on Saturday. Bit of a weird venue for this. This is on at Hawkfield, which holds 1,200 people. And there has been a lot of complaints on social media, especially from Longford fans. Not many of them can make the trip to Hawkfield to watch the game. Parking's an issue and things like that as well. But look, if for the game itself, you would expect Kildare to win this game. If they lose this game, Glenn Ryan and his team are in massive trouble, really.
But yeah, they have to start off the Tarleton Cup with a win. Like, there's no question about it. Like, because on top of that, there's kind of a blueprint there. Like, Meath went into the Tarleton Cup on a low ebb last year. They've just been absolutely pasted by Offaly in the Leinster Championship. A lot of people were saying, well, if Meath don't win the Tarleton Cup, it's a real disaster. And not only by Meath winning the Tarleton Cup, did they avoid the disaster, but they actually finished the year on a high note. A lot of people were giving them props, giving them praise, you know, talking about how Meath could have turned a corner now and they could be right back up there in a few years. Obviously hasn't aged well with the Leinster Championship game against Dublin there recently. But if you look at Kildare, like, it's a similar situation that they find themselves in. I truly believe that if Kildare go on and win the Tarleton Cup and do it in impressive fashion, the year will end on a good note for Kildare. Like, a lot of people will be saying, you know, do you know what? All things considered, they turned it around well and they won the Tarleton Cup and they found new players like whoever they bring onto the scene. But if they lose, Ryan's gone. And this era is definitely over for Kildare if they don't win the Tarleton Cup. And, like, this is what you're talking about, is this game is so important to Kildare because all eyes are on the first game. If they win this first game, you're up and running. And you'd imagine that they'll do good against Leitrim and that they'll top the group. But if they lose this game, you're off to a very, very rough start.
Yeah, we'd have to expect Kildare to win that game as well. But just before we get on to the other games, Hawkfield, your opinions on the venue? 1,200 people?
Yeah, I mean, it is weird, especially when you consider that you would expect potentially more people to turn up than that. Maybe it was the only one available. Who knows? I know, obviously, Newbridge isn't available, but is what it is.
Exactly. The other game in the group is Leitrim against Waterford at 6 p.m. in Ballinamore on Saturday at 6 p.m. as I mentioned. Just in a word, you have to expect Leitrim to win this game. Waterford have done well at the Munster Championship at stages, but Leitrim, Andy Moore's Leitrim, should win this game.
They should. Leitrim definitely should win this game, but Waterford definitely aren't going to be as easy as people have made them look over the last few years. Like, obviously beating Tipperary, their confidence would have been high. They didn't do themselves complete justice against Clare. I thought in the Munster semi-finals that they put in a decent display, but they didn't hold them for as long as I thought they might. And going into this game, Leitrim definitely are the favourites. And I do think Leitrim will win.
They should do, yeah. And getting on to the other groups now. So Group 2 is Sligo, Antrim, Wexford and Tipperary. And that starts with this game, Sligo against Wexford at 3 p.m. on Saturday in Markovic Park. What I will say about this, Sligo have really done well under Tony McAtee. They nearly beat Galway, but for a late Robert Finnerty goal at the Connacht semi-final. It could have been in the All-Ireland series. At the same time, though, Wexford have performed well at stages of the game in the games. And when you take it even back to last season, they absolutely obliterated Offaly in the preliminary quarterfinal of this competition and drew against Fermanagh. So it seems like Wexford are on an upward trajectory under John Hagerty, if that makes sense. It will be a difficult game for Sligo. You'd expect Sligo to win it at home, but like Wexford will put up a test, surely.
Yeah, Wexford, like, they've definitely developed a lot more consistency under John Hegarty. Like, they're definitely a lot more, you know what you're getting from Wexford. Sligo, on the other hand, have been making big progress. Like, no question about it. Like, they performed well, I thought, in the Sam Maguire Cup last year. Like, particularly the game against Kildare. You know, you'd argue that they should have won that game. Everything like that. Yeah, Sligo are the team that I'm almost looking forward to watching the most in the Tailteann Cup, because I wouldn't say that they're favourites. I still would probably put down slightly ahead, but by God, Sligo are going to be entertaining to watch in the Tailteann Cup, and I think it starts off with a win against Wexford.
Yeah, I think Sligo will win the game as well. Wexford put up a test. Just a question for both of us here. Where do you think Leitrim will come in the Tailteann Cup? I'm assuming Aaron means there. So where do you think Leitrim will finish at the group first? So I think second would second, be probably... Yeah. I think they'll beat Longford, to be honest with you, but we'll see how they get on in that group. And the other game in Group 2 is Antrim against Tipperary in Corrigan Park at 2:30 on Sunday. You'd expect Antrim to win the game, but it would be interesting to see Tipperary. Yes, they lost to Waterford, but that was without Sean O'Connor, their top scorer in the league, top scorer in the Sigurdsson Cup. If he's in the full forward line with Connor Sweeney or Jones, possibly from the under-20s, might come into the panel as well. That might be good for Tipperary to gain a bit of confidence. But having said all that, you'd expect Antrim to win this game.
You would expect Antrim to win this game. Tipperary definitely have the potential to cause an upset here or there. But no, Antrim for sure are more consistent than Tipperary. And you know what you're getting a lot more with them. And I think, yeah, this will for sure be an Antrim win.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. It should be an Antrim win in that game. And moving on to Group 3, it is Fermanagh, Laois, Wicklow and Carlow. So that's a reminder of that. And Fermanagh face against Wicklow in their first outing at the Tailteann Cup this season at 3 p.m. on Saturday in Brewster Park in Enniskillen. Like, you'd expect Fermanagh to win it, but it's a matter of if Fermanagh take this competition seriously. They didn't do so last season. They failed to Laois. They should do this year. Like, it's a major opportunity to win a trophy, really.
Yeah, it's a huge opportunity. I mean, when you look at, like, the credit and the attention and the day out really necessary, like, forget everything else, but the day out and the memories that Meath and Down will have of playing a national final in Croke Park, like, those are to be cherished, and that's what you put the work in for. And for Fermanagh to kind of just let it pass them by, like, they should have beaten Laois in that quarterfinal. I think that they would know that themselves. So I think they'll take it a lot more serious this time. I expect them to start off with a win. I do expect Wicklow to be tricky, but I expect Fermanagh to do enough to get the win.
Yeah, I would as well. Oisín McCann for Wicklow really to put up a test, but you expect Fermanagh to win that game. And it is a Leinster derby in the other game in the group, Laois against Carlow in Port Laois at 3 p.m. on Sunday. You'd expect Laois to win it, but Carlow have reached 2 quarterfinals of this competition in a row over the past 2 seasons. Can they cause a shock in this?
They have a history of it. Like, they have a track record, no doubt. Like, the shock against Tipperary 2 years ago in the Tailteann Cup definitely springs to mind. Like, they're a dangerous team to face. They have a snap in them. There's no question about it. But I think Laois, for me, have been very good so far this year. Apart from the Offaly game, they're going to need to bounce back from that. But I expect Laois to do that under McNulty. They've given a real smooth energy so far this season, and they expect them to start with a victory against Carlow.
Yeah, I'd expect Laois to win that game as well. And just on the last group, it is Down, Offaly, Limerick and London. I know Disease has a question in the chat, and we'll get on to that after we preview these two games. Offaly against London in Tullamore, 2 p.m. on Saturday, and Down against Limerick in Park Esler, 4 p.m. on Saturday. To be honest, the home side should win this pretty easily, Seamus. Like, Offaly and Down should get wins under their belt to start the Tailteann Cup campaign.
They should. Down, I'd imagine, will take this. Like, Down, I'd be honestly worried for Limerick, because, like, Down have this thing where, like, they smell blood and they really go for it. Like, you look at the scores that they were putting up in Division 3 against teams, particularly at the start, like, they're a real sit up and take notice score lines. I think Limerick need to look at what Westmeath did well and try and incorporate into that their game as much as they can. But I see Down actually winning this one very comfortably, to be honest. I think Down will start with an impressive win.
Yeah, I think Down should win that game, and Offaly indeed against London as well. We'll get on to the under 20 games in a sec, but Denise did ask a question for both of us. If you were to label any team as a dark horse in the Talbot Cup, who would that be? Difficult one, difficult one. I think the top four teams, the teams in seed one, are probably the favourites, so you couldn't count any of those. I would say Wexford for me. I think they're in very good form under John Hegarty. I don't know what you think yourself, Seamus, but who would you say as your dark horses?
My dark horses. Like, you see, I'd be tempted to say, obviously, like, Sligo would have been my dark horses to win the entire thing. But obviously, they're one of the teams that people are talking about. People are making them favourites. People are saying Down and Kildare. I say Sligo potentially to upset one of them. If you're to go completely outside, Offaly, I'd say Offaly for me.
Interesting. And Denise would actually go for a different team. She'd go Leitrim. And Aaron Brady said he'll go about Leash around that. Yeah, we'll have to see about Leash as well. They're very good form, obviously. Lost Offaly after a man getting sent off in the Leinster quarterfinal. So they might have a good shot in the Talton Cup and reach the semis, obviously, last season. So, and under a new coach known Justin McNulty. So all four teams, them, Wexford, Offaly, Leash and Leitrim will probably cause a few shocks here or there. But we look at the under 20 semi-finals now this weekend, and it is Meath against Kerry in Turles Simple Stadium Saturday 3 p.m. on TG Cahir. And Meath hammered Louth in the Leinster final, beaten them by 10 points. Eamon Armstrong excellent from wing back in this game, as was Jamie Murphy, a corner forward. Hughie Corcoran very good as well for Meath. As for Kerry, beat Cork quite comfortably in a Ossetia Park 3 by 6 points, I think it was, at the end. Tomás Kennedy getting a goal in that one. Cormac Dillon is doing brilliant in this campaign, as is Rob Stack in midfield. And of course, Tomás O'Shea is the manager of this Kerry team, with Brian Sheehan in the background team. And they have Johnny Crowley's son playing, Luke Crowley, at corner forward, who's actually playing with the Kerry hurlers as well. So Kerry senior hurlers, that is. So some excellent talent on show this one. But for me, Seamus, I think Meath, with them winning the minor championship in 2021, you'd expect them to win this game. But Kerry teams will never lie down in this competition.
Yeah, I think Meath definitely be coming in with a little bit more confidence, given like their track record, given the how much they beat allowed by the players like Young Corcoran and everything like this. Like, they're really carrying that Meath forward line. They're coming off good pedigree, and like they're very much needed as well. Like, that's another thing that you'd wonder how it is going for teams going into this. Like, Meath, for example, will be looking at that Meath senior team thinking there's spots up for grabs there. Kerry are looking thinking there's not many spots up for grabs in that Kerry team. There's a lot of players that have come through the Kerry ranks, like Paul O'Shea, like Paul Walsh, that, you know, haven't gotten a real kick at all in the Kerry senior team. So I think a lot of the Kerry lads might, you know, be like not optimistic about getting into the side. So I do wonder how that plays on the mindset of players that are at this level. Yeah, interesting game. Probably would slightly edge it to me, though, given their recent form.
Yeah, I'd probably say me to win this game as well. And it would be a major boost to the county. Obviously, the other semi-final is between Roscommon and Tyrone at 5 p.m. in Breffni Park in Cavan at 5 p.m. as I mentioned, on TG Cahir on Saturday. Now, I actually watched Roscommon last Saturday against Galway because it was on that game for an app or whatever. I was really impressed with this Roscommon team. Like, Bobby Nugent only scored 1 point in that final against Galway. You'd other players stepping up. Shane McGinley was outstanding. Ryan Dowling off the bench was really, really good as well, as was Conor Hester in the wing forward position as well for Roscommon. And they seem to be really good. Dan Casey at full back, I thought, was absolutely excellent for them as well. But Tyrone have a lot of good young players at this age, especially Owen McElhone at centre forward is definitely one to watch. I think he's one of the top scorers from play in this competition, done so well for Owen with CBS. And to be honest, he could be the newer version of the Canavans, Rory O'Dara. I'd go as far as saying that he's a really good player. Conor Owens at full forward is really good as well from the Tyrone point of view. As is a few others, like Rory McCullough is another good player that Tyrone have. So I think Roscommon could actually edge this, you know. I know Tyrone won the Minor Ulster Championship in 2021 and got to the final against Meath at that age grade. But it was really impressive with Roscommon, the way they put Galway away last Saturday. So I don't know what you think about yourself, Seamus, but I'm going to go for Roscommon to win this.
Yeah, it's a very difficult one. I think, like, Roscommon for sure look very, very good. Like, I watched the game against Galway there on TG Cahir. Like, I was very impressed with Roscommon's coolness heading into the final few minutes. Like they were very, very calm, weathered the Galway storm very well, and saw the game out very efficiently. Like players like Bobby Nugent, really, really impressive going forward. And then you've got Tyrone on the other hand, who, like, yeah, Conor Owens is definitely one that's really, really caught my eye. He's a very, very sharp forward. And again, like, there is, like, it's the competition is going to be fierce there in the Tyrone forward line for those spots. Like, you'd imagine the Canavans will have it nailed on, but Darren McCurry's there as well. And Conor Owens into the conversation as well. Like, a serious competition there for Tyrone. It's really difficult because Tyrone obviously have the pedigree over the last 2 years, like under 20 champions in 2022, and they're always kind of there or thereabouts. You wonder, does that play into the mindset of the players at all? I think Roscommon, you're right. I think Roscommon getting a sense that they could really make history this year. I go with Roscommon.
I'm going to go for Roscommon as well. And even lads around the middle of the park for Tyrone, Conor O'Neill and Rory McHugh have done excellent as well in this campaign, but you'd have to back Roscommon to win this one. And just before we get on to the hurling, the LGFA, there's provincial finals this weekend. Before the Dublin and Low game in the seniors, it's a much more closer game in Croke Park. It is Dublin against Meath at 11:45 a.m. on a Sunday, pretty weird time, on TG Car YouTube. So, like, Dublin and Meath, Dublin hammered them last week, but that was just a dress rehearsal for this final, let's be honest. Meath will come up with more brilliant players than this, I'd imagine, like Marion Farrelly, like Emma Duggan. And a lot of them players. Dublin are doing really well at the moment. Annabelle Timothy actually got a hat trick in one of them Leinster games, and she was nominated for the PWC Player of the Month award. So that's a young player coming through. And it's Hiro Carter Roar still about as well for the Dublin team. You would expect Dublin to win it, but Meath have a tendency to perform when it matters, especially against the Dubs, especially against their rivals.
Yeah, they do. And like, definitely, I hope that this is a good game because it keeps the rivalry going. And I hope that it's a very back and forth 50-50 affair, because it's going to be followed by the Dublin Loud game, and I think like people will want to see a contest of some sort when they go to Croke Park. I think like me, they're going to come definitely a lot better than they came for the game at Parnell Park. I think that both sides did know that they were there, but like the side that Dublin put out, man, like it's a very good team. Dublin now, Sinead Goldrick straight back in at centre half back. Then you got Marta Byrne, a fullback. You've got Leah Caffrey still to come back in. Aoife Kane, Jennifer Dunne in midfield with Lauren McGee. And then up front, you've got Hannah Tyrrell, you've got Carla Rowe, you've got Annabelle Timothy, you've got Cuíve O'Connor, Kate Sullivan, Orla Nolan at centre forward, Nicole Owens. Like, it's a very good Dublin team now. And Rachel Fleming in goal as well. Brilliant goalkeeper. Like, I do see it quite hard to stop Dublin. I really do. And the scores that they've been putting up, man, has been incredible. I think it's between Armagh, Kerry and Dublin as to who wins the senior LGFA title this year. I think Meath are slightly out of contention. They can change my mind this weekend. I think if Meath beat Dublin in the Leinster final, I'd put them straight back in there. Emma Duggan's going to be back in. Marion Farrelly's going to be back in. Time to, you know, step up to the plate.
Exactly, I'll probably go for Dublin win as well, but we'll have to see on Sunday. And Galway against Mayo is the Connacht final this weekend. Obviously, both of these sides were there automatically because they are the only two senior sides in the province of Connacht. This game is on at Sunday at 2 p.m. on TG Car YouTube as well. Galway went down to Division 2 in the league. Mayo stayed up quite comfortably. So you would imagine Mayo on form will win this game. But Galway still have some very good players. The likes of Aoife O'Rourke in the full forward line. The likes of Olivia Dibbley and other players of that, like that nature as well. So you'd have an Ailish Morrissey who's coming back from a long-term injury. You would imagine Galway have to put up some sort of a performance here just to gain a bit of confidence going to the All-Ireland Championship, that is. But Mayo, they've been going along really, really well in the league. Lisa Cafferty and Sinead Walsh and players like that. But you would imagine Mayo to win, but Galway have to put up some sort of a performance.
They do. And the thing is that Galway have put up some decent displays, like particularly the one against Dublin at Parnell Park. I remember Galway were the better side. Galway absolutely deserved to win that game. And when the full-time whistle went, I was like, how on earth have Galway lost that game? Not Dublin winning. How did Galway throw it away? Like, they really, really threw it away quite impressively. They somehow managed to lose a game that they were in total control of. They have unbelievable footballers, like Alva Dagher and the Noon Sisters. Like, they really, really do have great players. And, like, going into this game, Mayo are in way better form. Like Mayo have been, you know, as you said, stayed up, you know, grand in Division 1. And they beat Galway quite comfortably in the opening round. So it's definitely something that Galway Galway are definitely underdogs going into this game, no question about it. I think they have the potential. I think they have the talent to turn Mayo over. But in this moment of time, you know the form of the likes of Sinead Caffrey, Lisa Caffrey, Tamara O'Connor, I think it's Mayo's to lose.
Yeah, I'd agree. I'd say Mayo will win this game in the Connacht final on Sunday. We will move on to hurling now, and we'll start off with a huge game this weekend. Cork against Limerick in Super Valley Park, Kyiv, Saturday, 7 p.m. live on GAA Go. Seamus, Cork have to win this game or they're out of the Munster Championship. And even more salt in the wounds for Cork fans, Kieran Joyce has now been ruled out of this game because of an injury, a serious injury, that is. So his place at centre-back goes to Rob Downey, with Barry Coleman moving to wing-back into the team. So that's a huge loss for Cork already and kind of dampens their mood to try and cause a shock against this brilliant Limerick side.
It's a huge loss that Joyce is out. Joyce plugged a hole there at six for Cork. Like, Cork were chopping and changing the centre-half backs over and over again. Mark Coleman was in there, and it was Mark Ellis, and it was Christopher Joyce. And chopping and changing, Damien Callahan did a stint there. Like, everybody was having a go, and Kieran Joyce comes in, and all of a sudden the problem goes away for Cork. The fact that he's missing for this game is massive. And, you look at Limerick, like, I imagine they're going to, you know, go for Rob Downey a bit in this game, try and stretch him, try and see just how much he is up to the task. You wonder, what's the story with Tim O'Mahony? Is he injured or...?
Just not picked, really. And the bigger story actually that was mentioned online, Tommy O'Connell was trusted so well in the league. Why isn't he gone into centre-back? That was a question that I was thinking, why aren't Cork doing
that? I wouldn't have picked Rob Downey to have been selected to go there. I would have picked that it would have been Tim or Tommy O'Connell.
Would you pick Mark Coleman to go into centre-back and put Rob at wing-back? No,
I don't think so. I don't know, maybe. Depends who Limerick went with at centre-forward. I think if they went with a Keane Lynch, I think Coleman would be all right.
But I'll have to see the Limerick team as I get it up now. But like, Limerick have their own loss in Peter Casey, and I see the Limerick leader actually will give you their views on how they'll cover Peter Casey. But to be honest, Limerick have so many options. The likes of Donegal Dalig, the likes of Aidan O'Connor even on the bench. I don't think it's much of an issue. Best wishes to Peter Casey, obviously, but I don't think it's an issue for the whole Limerick team.
But they got O'Dalig, they got Adam English, they got Shane O'Brien. All those three would start for us. They'd all start for Dublin. So I think they're well set in terms of their options. Personally, look, Cork are huge underdogs going into this game. Like, I think it's going to be a really, really difficult task for the Rebels to get the win here. But, like, it's at Páirc Uí. Hopefully the Cork fans can go and build an atmosphere and really, really get behind the team, because, like, Cork can beat Limerick. I really, really think that. Cork can beat Limerick. When you saw how close they were to them last season, I believe Cork can win. You just have to go with Limerick, though. Like, I really, really don't want to be boring, but like, when Limerick have shown you time and time again that they always, always find a way. They played against Clare, who everybody picks as being the best stylistic matchup for Limerick and the most likely to beat them. And Limerick played the worst hurling I have ever seen that Limerick team play in the first half. And they still won. They still won. Like, even though all that went right for Clare, Limerick still won. And why would you think then that they are not going to win other games? It has to be Limerick for me. Like, I do think, as I said, I do think Cork can win. I do think there's a path there to victory for Cork. And I think the answer is goals, man. They have to score at least three goals. I think Alan Connolly has to hit two, and they have to get one from like a Shane Kingston or a Seamus Hannity. They have to score at least three goals, and they have to, again, have a similar shot accuracy to what they had last year.
And Cork have only made one change from the game against Clare. Just for context for our listeners, that was the Kieran Joyce injury, which was in four. So Brian Hayes starts this game again. Shane Kingston on the bench again. Jack O'Connor on the bench again. Do you think that's the right move from Pat Ryan, do you think?
No. Personally, no. I think Brian Hayes is a great hurler. I think Horgan is a great hurler as well. But I think when you look at it, like, Dan Morrissey, that's his bread and butter. putting a big lad in on top of him. Like, Dan Morrissey will eat that up. You have to come with something different. You have to come with pace. Jack O'Connor and Shane Kingston have pace, frightening pace. Dan Morrissey, if you said to Dan Morrissey, would you rather mark a big lump of a fella who's a very, very skillful hurler? Like, don't get me wrong, Horgan and Hayes are fantastic, but what I'm saying is styles make fights. I think if you were to say to Dan Morrissey, do you want to mark someone who's a big lad, skillful, but he's not that fast, or would you rather mark a bullet? I think Morrissey's going with the big lad.
Exactly. It's an excellent point there. And Limerick, as this podcast is going live on Thursday evening, Limerick haven't announced their team. They might do so on Friday morning, but we don't know the team as for certain yet. But, and just on the tip of anything, he is starting in this game at number five. He's there at half back with Robert Downey at centre back and Mark Coleman at full back. Two players in particular for Cork that did start the game against Clare, but it's key positions. Number three, Owen Downey. Number eight, Eaton Toomey. Both young players, skillful hurlers, brilliant players, no doubt about it. But Owen Downey is tasked possibly with going on Aaron Gillan or Seamus Flanagan. Well, Eaton Toomey has to battle it out with Will O'Donoghue and midfield. It's going to be big for them two players in particular, and considering the youth in the, at their side as well, it's going to be a massive task for those two players in particular.
It will be, because you look at it, the way that Gillan can really put someone on the back burner when he has them, like the way he just destroyed Keane Nolan last year. Like, when Gillan senses that you're not on his level, that fella can hit 110, 2-9, whatever, like, and drag Limerick through. Like, it's a massive day for Owen Downey, and like it's a huge occasion. I think he can really, really stamp his name all over the championship if he holds down Aaron Gillan here.
Do you think there's a factor there that the Cork crowd could be, get behind this team as well?
I think it's one of the biggest things that Cork have in their advantage going into this game, that Cork have their backs against the wall. They need every single Cork fan to be there in Páirc Uí Chaoimh cheering them on. They need all that positive energy, because they need to be all together, dragging in one direction to try and get over the line against what is the greatest hurling team of all time.
And just on Limerick, like, this might be clutching at straws from a Cork fan's point of view. When someone said this on social media during the week, is there a case that Limerick, having won two games and playing Waterford at home in the last game of the round robin, is there a case that Limerick might lax off a bit, or is that just me clutching at straws?
Limerick aren't laxing off. They have to take their break week as well. They ain't laxing off. No way. John Kiley's not going to allow that, man, because like, Waterford actually gave them a few difficult moments this year, and Waterford are going to be fighting for their lives. There's no way Limerick are going to let up. Until they are nailed on, safe, they ain't laxing off. And I still think, even if they were home and hosed, if this was the final game and Limerick are already in the final, I still don't think they're laxing off. There's too many lads in that team that are not guaranteed their starting spot. Like your old Dolics, your Cathal O'Neills. And I think they tend to cause a lot of damage when they're uncertain of their place in the team.
And just on the Cork full back line for a sec now, because Sean O'Donoghue went on Aaron Gillan last year, and Aaron Gillan got the penalty off him, obviously. Got a few scores and things like that. And Cork were well open at the back, as well documented last season. The full back line this time for Cork on Saturday, as named on social media, is Niall O'Leary, Owen Downey, Sean O'Donoghue. Is this going to be vital for Cork to see who goes on Adam English if he does start, who goes on Gillan, who goes on Seamus Flanagan, who goes on Dudek O'Dolic if he does start? This has to be, like, Pat Ryan nearly has to get this bang on. If he doesn't get it bang on, it could be curtains early on.
I think O'Donoghue has to go on Gillan. He's the most experienced defender. He's the toughest. I think he's the best matchup for Gillan. I think Owen Downey should go on whoever replaces Peter Casey. I think Niall O'Leary should go on Seamus Flanagan. I think that's what I would go with.
And in a word, you'd expect Limerick to win the game, do you think? Or do you think, is there any chance that Cork could win it?
I think there's every chance that Cork could win it. I think that Cork have the ability. I think they have the forwards, and I think they have the pace to really cause Limerick a lot of problems. It's just, man, every time you think that Limerick are out, they just find a way. And it's like one of those things that, because they've been so close to the line every time. The only time I really will believe that Limerick are beaten is when the game is over and they've lost, when the full-time whistle goes. That's the only time I believe that Limerick have lost. Because I remember the Clare game. I remember for a second I thought, geez, Clare have won this game. Then the Dermot Burns goal went in, and we all know the rest. So I think Cork can win, but I think Limerick will. By a point. Razor close.
And that would obviously be Cork would be out of the All-Ireland Championship before even the end of May, which is... Well, it did happen last year, to be fair, but 2 years in a row, it's unthinkable. But we are all predicting a Limerick win in this game. Of Cork to go out of the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship at the weekend. In the Leinster Championship, Dublin against Antrim on Saturday in Parnell Park at 4 p.m. Obviously, this game isn't shown live, as we mentioned at the start of the show. I don't know why, to be honest. Both sides are on 3 points. It is a cutthroat game. And especially with Dublin in particular, James, because... the last two games that Dublin have are against Kilkenny and Galway in no particular order. You feel like Dublin have to win this game. If they don't, they could be in a bit of bother.
We definitely could. I think we will. I think Dublin, we have a good record against Antrim, actually. Like, I think we always have tight games against them, but I feel like over the last few years, we've usually come out the right side. Definitely done it in a hard way. But I mean... obviously, the game against Antrim in the league this year, we had the Sean Gallagher last-minute goal, which saved us in that game. Like, there's obviously been difficult moments against Antrim. I would say we will get the win, but it's going to be very, very tight. Like, no question, Antrim definitely showed all the character beating Wexford. You know, like, the sideline from Jared Walsh was absolutely sensational. They still have quality players everywhere in the field. It's going to be difficult, but I think Dublin will win.
Yeah, I think Dublin should win the game as well. But like Antrim,
in fact, it's not on Corrigan Park, is massive.
That was the question I was going to ask as well, because James Skettle mentioned this in the hurling pod with Will O'Callaghan and Paul Murphy a few weeks ago, that Antrim have this tendency to do really, really well at home in Corrigan Park, and they're a match for anybody. But as soon as they go outside that comfort zone, they kind of fold a bit. But when you look at the game actually against Wexford and Wexford Park last season, they were close in that game. So is there a chance that Antrim could cause shock here?
That could just be Wexford, though. We should have a tendency of doing that. There's definitely a chance of a shock here. There definitely is. Dublin are not the finished article by any stretch. So Antrim could definitely cause an upset here. But I will go with Dublin. I think Dublin, we tend to get the job done when we're favourites. We are favourites for this game. I think... now that we've seen Wexford beat Galway, you know, really lays down the mantle to us that we have to get some points, and I think we will.
And if Antrim managed to get a win in this game, but Dublin, to be fair as well, if one of those sides get a win this weekend, is there a chance of a Leinster final on the horizon? Because Galway, we see last week, they were very, very poor against Wexford, very poor against Kilkenny and Pearse Stadium. Is there a slight bit of hope whoever wins this game might get into a Leinster final?
I think if we were playing Galway in Croke Park or in Parnell Park, I would say there is a very good chance of a Leinster final. The fact it's in Pearse Stadium, I'm less confident, because Pearse Stadium is going to be very difficult to go there and beat Galway, even with the form that Galway are in. It's a hell of a trek to make, and Galway will make that difficult. The weather won't be nice. Galway are more used to it, and I probably would say Galway would win. If it was in Croke Park or Parnell, especially Parnell, I would back us to get a result, but it's in Pearse Stadium. I don't know. I feel like that's a little bit beyond us right now.
We'll have to see. But I think we're both predicting Dublin to win this game, but it'd be very, very tight to call. A game that probably won't be as tight as that one is Carlow against Kilkenny in the Netwatch Cullen Park at 4:30 p.m. on Saturday evening on GAA Go. It's great that Carlow are getting shown, considering the last 2 weeks they only got shown package highlights after pushing Dublin all the way, pushing Galway in periods of the game as well in Pearse Stadium. They have performed well up until now, but if Kilkenny bring back their fellas like Owen Cody, like Adrian Munn and all them, you would expect Kilkenny to win. But it depends what side really Kilkenny come out with really in this game.
It does, yeah, and it would be interesting to see who they actually do go with, because they were missing a lot of players against Galway. You know, you'd wonder what the fitness level is for those lads. And yeah, how are they going to manage them? How is Derek Lynn going to manage them over the season? this is a game that they should win. I would see a situation where Kilkenny try and get this game done in the first half, try and hit as many goals as they can, try and be 15 points up in the 45th minute, and then start whipping the lads off and coast the game out from there. I think that's kind of the mentality they'd go in with into this game. But Carlo have been no whipping boys, and they pushed Dublin all the way. They did well against Galway for long patches. I think that they will do themselves justice against Kilkenny. Players like Marty Kavanagh, Chris Nolan, Kevin McDonald have really, really flown the flag for them. But I can see nothing other than a Kilkenny win.
I think Carlo might put it up to them at stages in the game. I wouldn't be surprised if Carlo hit the net in this one. I think they have some very good forwards. The likes of John Nolan, as you mentioned, Chris Nolan, Martin Kavanagh, Kevin McDonald's an excellent player at centre-back. So I wouldn't be surprised if Carlo hit the net a few times, but I would also be surprised if players like Owen Wall or Jordan Malloy from the O'Loughlin Gaels club step up for this game in Kilkenny and stake a name in their starting 15. So it'd be interesting to see, but I'd say Kilkenny should win that game. And before we end the pod here, we'll go on to the Christy Ring Cup. So that is entering its round four this weekend. So just as a matter of interest, here is the table in the Christy Ring Cup. Yeah. That was just a software update, sorry, but that, just getting that away off the tablet. But yeah, here's the Christy Ring Cup table. So London are top of the table with 6 points and with a good points difference. They have the best attack and best defence in the gold Christy Ring Cup. Kildare second with 6 points. You have Derry on 4 points, Tyrone on two, and then Wicklow and Sligo at the bottom on 0 points. And just for clarity, the fixtures this weekend, we have Derry against London at 1:30 p.m. in Owen Beg on Saturday. You have Tyrone against Kildare at 2 p.m. in Oma on Saturday as well at 2 p.m. And then on Sunday, you have Wicklow against Sligo in Aughrim at 2 p.m. there on Sunday. So Wicklow and Sligo is more of a relegation dogfight. Whoever wins that might get themselves out of danger. But according to the math anyway, if London and Kildare both win their game, the respective games against Derry and Tyrone, they are in the final of the Christy Ring Cup. So do you think it'll play that way, Seamus?
I think it probably will. I think they're like London and Kildare have definitely announced themselves right from the start as being the teams to watch. I mean, you see the score difference there. London, very impressive. Kildare, obviously very unlucky to be relegated from the John McDonagh last year. Like players like Jack Sheridan, James Burke, like they've proved themselves to be of higher level, you would imagine, in this competition, and they've definitely shown it. Like 3 wins out of 3, they've looked on a mission to get out. You'd imagine it's between London and Kildare for who takes this. So yeah, I think they'll re-establish themselves again this weekend as the ones to watch.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd probably say London and Kildare as well, and probably Wicklow to just edge Sligo in that game in a relegation dogfight, to aim to not go down to the Nicky Rackard Cup. We'll go on, speaking of the Nicky Rackard Cup, we'll get on to that next. That game is all, that round is also in its round four, if I could get up the table here. So that's the Laurie Marr. I'll try to get up the Nicky. There it is, the Nicky Rackard Cup. So you have Donegal at the top with 6 points, Roscommon at 6 points as well, Mayo on 4, Armagh on 2, and then Louth and Monaghan at the bottom with 0. But look at Louth's difference, -21. They have been losing games slightly, so whereas Monaghan are getting absolutely hammered in nearly every game, it seems. So Louth and Monaghan coincidentally play each other this weekend in Monaghan at 2 p.m. on Saturday. You have Mayo against Armagh at 1 p.m. on Saturday and Roscommon against Donegal at 1 p.m. on Saturday. So according to the math, whoever wins between Roscommon and Donegal will be in the final of the Nicky Rackard Cup. Look at the points difference. You would imagine Donegal will get to the final. Look at their scores and stuff like Jerry Gilmore and Liam McKinney and all them. But Roscommon are at home, so there's every chance that Roscommon go on and win that game. And as well, Mayo, I think, play Roscommon on the last day. So Mayo could keep their hopes alive if they beat Armagh as well. So it should be an interesting ending to the Nicky Rackard Cup, the second last weekend of it, it is.
Yeah, you imagine it's very difficult. And the fact is that Mayo obviously started with a stumble against Donegal. Like, yeah, that result was definitely a surprise. But like, they're still in contention. And when you look at their score difference there, like they've been putting a beating on teams since. So they've really made a statement in bouncing back. Roscommon, on the other hand, they have home advantage, but it's a Donegal side that's been sweeping all before them. I probably still would shade it to Donegal, even though it's in Roscommon, and that really shakes it up then for Mayo and Roscommon. Mayo will obviously overtake Roscommon if they beat Armagh by a good score. Like they only don't need to beat them by a good score, beat them by a little bit, and they're still above Roscommon because of the score difference. And then when Mayo and Roscommon lock horns, it's set up to be a cracker. So, Yeah, down the bottom, I would shout it to Loud. Loud have been more competitive in their games, like players like Peter Fortune all leading from the front. So I probably still would shout it to them to take that one and get their heads up off the ground. Like, 0 points after three games isn't great. Donegal, obviously, up the top, I still think that won't change. And I think Mayo will probably join them in the final when it's all said and done.
Exactly. So I'd probably predict the same as well as what you're saying there for the predictions. And finally, the Larry Mar Cup this weekend. That's also in this round four. And I'll bring up the table just for clarity for viewers. So Fermanagh and Cavan are joint at the top with 5 points there. But you look at Fermanagh's points difference, it's absolutely incredible. And Luca McCusker, coincidentally enough, hasn't scored much of the Fermanagh scores. It's all been really Dana McHugh and Sean Corrigan who have really stepped up to the plate for them. Longford just in behind with 4 points. Leitrim at 2 points. Warwickshire at 2 points. And then you have Lancashire at the bottom with 0 points. So the games this weekend are Cavan against Longford at 1 p.m. on Saturday. Fermanagh against Lancashire at 1 p.m. on Saturday. Leitrim against Warwickshire at 3:30 p.m. on Saturday as well. So you expect Fermanagh and Cavan both at home in those games. They're against Lancashire and Longford, respectively, at home, and Leitrim at home to Warwickshire. You would expect Cavan at Fermanagh to win the game, and probably Leitrim as well. So, to be honest, like, if I'm looking at the mat here, if Cavan and Fermanagh both win, it looks like they'll be in the Larry Mar Cup final before even the last game of the season. So, you would imagine at home, Cavan and Fermanagh should get the job done.
Yeah, you would imagine so. It's the last chance saloon for Longford. So they have to go and give it everything that they've got in this game, because like if they don't win, and Cavan are pretty much setting sail into the final, like they're not going to get caught in the last round, even if Longford draw with them. So it's go big or go home now for Longford, which sets it up to be a cracking weekend. Fermanagh, you'd imagine, will win that game, obviously, against Lancashire. Like, you'd imagine they'll be home and dry in that one. Luca McCusker obviously hasn't hit their main scores. Sean Corrigan's been really, really impressive, but McCusker always has the ability to flare up in a game like that, especially when you see what Lancashire have been conceding. So, I mean, it's all there for them. I think Fermanagh will definitely qualify for the final this weekend. I'd be a little bit more cautious about Cavan, but I think Cavan will get over the line.
Yeah, I'd probably say Cavan and Fermanagh to get over the line as well. And just before we end the pod, like, RT need to show more of these games, to be honest with you, because we're only going off scores and stuff like that. Like, I just made these tables up before the pod even began and stuff like that myself. So that just shows, like, the promotion isn't like, there.
If you can do it, they can definitely do it. And I know that, like, they do a lot of work, and I'm not saying for a split second that they don't, but, like, get more people in who can do that work. That's what I'd be kind of saying.
Exactly. So, and hopefully the finals will be to the excellent events in Croke Park in a few weeks' time as well. And even look at the London and Kildare kind of ending to the Christy Ring Cup, that's probably got me excited a bit, because Kildare have done so well. London has got so many scores in the Christy Ring and deserve a lot of, you know, media attention. And I'm sure they will do in the next few weeks. Well, hopefully, anyway, fingers crossed. But that ends the podcast. So we've gone through a lot in this episode. So 1.5 hours on the books. So there you go. So if you enjoy the podcast, like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Give the podcast a subscription on YouTube as well. Helps the channel out. Definitely check out Capture Athletics if you haven't already. Sponsors of this podcast, thanks to them again. Thanks to Seamus for coming on to the podcast today. And until the next one, we'll see you then and take care.